Please note disclaimers at end of show.
Welcome to Creating Wealth with Jason Hartman. During this program, Jason is going to tell you some really exciting things that you probably haven't thought of before, and a new slant on investing. Fresh new approaches to America's best investment that will enable you to create more wealth and happiness than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine, self-made multimillionaire who not only talks the talk, but walks the walk. He's been a successful investor for 20 years and currently owns properties in 11 states and 17 cities. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to financial freedom. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, and this is episode number 160. Boy, we're getting up there, 160 shows so far. In this show, we will talk to author David Allen, who is the author of several books, but probably his most famous book is called Getting Things Done, and it has been extremely popular in the corporate world, and it's about organization, time management, and you know what? Just generally getting things done. So it's a great topic, and as you know, every 10th show, we do a non-real estate, non-financial topic. But I do have to say, this one probably runs pretty close, closer than most of the every 10 shows, to the financial side. But of course, it also applies to the rest of our lives because we want to be more productive. We want to get more things done, execute on things, because then it leaves more time to do the other things that we want to do. So maybe leisure is on our list of things to do, if you will, and this can help you do that. We are called human beings, not human doings. So let's talk about getting things done so we can be rather than do more often. We just finished a fantastic Masters weekend last night, and we'll kind of debrief on that on a future show. But today we didn't have time to. We didn't have everybody together as I'm recording this intro. But it was a fantastic Masters weekend. We had a packed room here in Costa Mesa, California, and people flew in from all over the country. I want to thank the Platinum team for helping make the event a big success. And thank you to all of our clients who participated on the client panel, the Tales from the Edge panel, and all of the other people who came, who participated. It was just great to have everybody there, and we had many repeat guests that have been to other Masters weekends, and it was great to see them again, and just love doing that event. So we'll debrief on that later, but let's go right into the show with David Allen. Oh, one more thing before we do that. Tomorrow, that is Tuesday night, we start our six-week Creating Wealth online course. And that is a six-week intensive. Each session will run on Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And if you can't attend the live session, you can see the full audio video online as well, so you don't need to attend live. And even if you do attend live, if you'd like a review of it, you can have the recordings as well. Again, this is a first time that we have done the course online. You guys have been asking for this, so we listened, and here it is. You can register for it at jasonhartman.com. You can pop in and start any time within the 6 weeks, but of course it's always nice if you start at the beginning. We have a whole bunch of people registered, and again, jasonhartman.com. Click on events and go ahead and register for the Creating Wealth online course. You get a PDF workbook with the course, and that is about 30 pages long, I believe, and it's just going to be a fantastic online course. You can interact with me, you can interact with the other instructors and the other speakers and panelists that will be involved over the 6 weeks of that course. So be sure to join us for that, especially if you have not yet attended the Creating Wealth course. A lot of people attended Masters Weekend that have not been to the Creating Wealth course, and this is a perfect opportunity because those are very different. You need the foundational philosophy in the Creating Wealth course. So, once again, without further ado, let's go to the interview with David Allen. Here he is. It's my pleasure to welcome David Allen to the show today. He is a guru and expert on personal productivity and organization. His latest book is Making It All Work, Winning the Game of Work and the Business of Life. David, welcome.
Delighted to be here, Jay.
Great to have you. I first discovered you a few years ago with the book Getting Things Done. And I know that's not the latest book, but it seems to be rather foundational. And I thought maybe we'd talk about that one first. What do people need to do to be more productive? We're all distracted inundated today with overly committed lives and we're just all too busy. And it seems like a lot of times we're just kind of going in circles. What's the key to getting things done?
Well, I think if you back it up a little bit and ask yourself when you've had a really good day, when you really got things done, you probably would call that in, you were probably in your zone. You know, the athletes call that in the zone. Time disappears. It's like, God, lunchtime, where did the morning go? So that state where you're clear, you're relaxed, you're highly focused, you're inspired, but not like giddy and tee-hee and ha-ha, but inspired meaning you are engaged, you're just on. When time disappears, I think that's the most productive state to be in. It's the most productive state to operate from, whether you're hitting a golf ball off the tee or in a difficult conversation or trying to rethink, you know, your life strategies, whatever. It's like you're clear. You're highly focused and you have all of your resources available to you. Well, if you could stay in that state, and that's a lot of what my work is about, is, well, how do you get into that state? And when you fall off, how do you recognize you fall off and how do you get back on? So I think what most people need to do is to understand there actually is a definable set of behaviors that allow you to get on top of your game instead of feel like you're behind it. And that's what I did. I spent a lot of years just uncovering, not really making it up. It's not like a foreign language or a technology you don't understand. But what I did was just begin to really examine very closely what it is we do that works for us in that regard. And I just wound up defining those sets of behaviors and describing essentially a coherent methodology that if you start to apply it, lets you get a lot more done with a lot less effort.
So you call this kind of a new practice for a new reality. Tell us about that if you would.
Well, then what's different these days is how frequently everything is different. That's what's new is the fact that while we're talking right now, stuff is piling up in there that is potentially meaningful new input that could cause us to have to recalibrate our whole mix of our priorities and our commitments and recast the whole game, if you will, and then repoint and refocus. It's just that's happening many times a day as opposed to once a month for our parents. So that's what's different is things are coming in much too fast to let them lie around without defining what they mean and without having a lot more rigor in terms of keeping track of what all of our commitments are at multiple different levels and being able to step back and see that whole inventory and keep it current so that you're making much more objective decisions on an ongoing basis and can reset very fast. That's what's really different. So the flexibility to be able to unhook and redo and refocus is really, really critical these days, and that's not really being taught. Everybody's kind of in it, but I think what I did was let people know there's light at the end of that tunnel, but it's not free. There are certain behaviors you have to do and certain things you've got to get good at and better at and much more on the front end about and more rigorous. I don't want to make it sound hard because, it's stuff that's actually pretty easy to do. But most people don't seem to have done it or understood it in a coherent way like I did.
Yeah, well, things are moving so fast nowadays, and I believe it was Peter Drucker that said the one thing constant is change, so very much to your point. What do people do? I mean, what are some sort of the fundamentals of getting things done?
Well, the real fundamental is, well, all you have to do to get things done is define what done means and what doing looks like and where it happens. It's just that those don't show up by themselves. You know, what does done mean in terms of mom and elder care? What does done mean right now in terms of, I got to rethink how I need to restructure my business now that the world may be waking up a little bit more out there? So defining what our outcomes are is not an easy task necessarily. And then even when you define those, say, okay, well, what's the very next step? What's the next thing I need to do? Making that decision. Those don't show up already in nice little pink bows and well-defined. So we have to train ourselves to how to make those, somewhat common sense and obvious, executive operational decisions. That's the basic sort of thought process and behavior that's embedded in GTD. But how do you do that with the flood of stuff that we're engaged with and that we have to deal with on an hour-by-hour basis? Now, that's the challenge. And that's where I came up with the five phases of how do you really manage to get that under control and keep it under control, and what are the six different conversations or horizons that we need to evaluate in terms of what our commitments are. So essentially, I got it as simple as I could, but I couldn't get it any simpler than that. So that's sort of the detail of how do I manage that thought process and make sure that it's installed out there.
Well, take us through those steps, if you would. There are six and five, you said?
Yeah, well, there are five and six. I take it like, let's get control first, because if your foot is slipping off the rock, you can't really focus on where you want to climb. You need to get control first. if the ship is sinking, you don't really care where it's pointed. So the first thing is, how do I get this situation under control? And that could be my email, it could be a client relationship, it could be my office, it could be my country, it could be anything. And those five stages of how you get control, very simply, I'll give you the quick bullets are, first of all, to capture the stuff. Just capture what's pulling on me, capture what's not on cruise control. I need to identify that. Number two is, I then need to clarify or process what those things are. What does that mean? How do I relate to the fact that that email is sitting there and giving me information about X, Y, and Z? Is there something I'm committed to do about it or not? Do I need to throw it away? Is it something I need to review later on? And if it's something I'm committed to move on, what's the outcome I'm committed to and what's the action step I must take? So that's essentially, those are the clarifying questions about what emails mean, what my meeting notes mean, what do I now need to do after I get off the phone with this person. So that's the clarify, that's stage two. Stage three says, okay, once you make a decision, oh, I need to call Fred Smith about this, I then need to organize some reminder about that. So stage three is to organize the results of that thinking about your stuff. Stage four is to step back and make sure now that you've organized it, that you're reflecting and reviewing the contents that you've organized in some appropriate manner on some appropriate recursion or regularity. Then stage five says, okay, now how do I allocate resources? What do I go do? How do I engage with what do I do next? Is this an email? Do I need to go to sleep? Do I need to have a conversation with my boss? What's next? What's the very next allocation of resources? So essentially, you capture, you clarify, you organize, you reflect, and then you engage. So, and that's, you know, at micro levels or macro levels, that's actually what we all do. If things get out of control and we wind up getting them back into control, we did some version of those phases in that order. So there's a lot of detail on each one of those. I can drill into those in more detail. But then if you say, okay, well, once I've done all that, I've got a lot more things to do than just one thing. No kidding. And that's where, how do I make priority decisions, or how do I then decide which of those things I need to do right now? And that's where a critical component for that is the six conversations you really need to have to really feel comfortable about, you know, what you're doing. And I put them in an altitude analogy because it tends to work that way. You know, I kind of lift up and see higher. That the very highest would be what I call a 50,000 foot level. That's your ultimate purpose and your core values. What are you about? Why are you on the planet? What's really important to you? The next level down from that would be, okay, what would wild success of you doing that look, sound, or feel like? What are the long-term picture of success for you? That's what you could call it, vision, 40,000 feet. Let's drop down, make the purpose more operational here. Then I have a vision of what that might look like. But then, of course, you need to step that down a little further. I come down to 30,000 feet and say, okay, what do I need to accomplish from the next 3 to 24 months? The goals, the objectives, the plans that I need to do, what do I need to do to start to make the vision happen? And then you need to step down to 20,000 feet and say, okay, well, what are all the components of the engine that need to be maintained so that this enterprise is healthy and can get me there? So in your work, this would be the area, 4 to 7 things you're responsible to maintain, grow sales, grow staff, manage assets, you know, stuff like that. As well as in your life, you know, well, I need to maintain health and my relationships and my household and my spiritual life and my recreational life and my own personal development, et cetera. So those would be sort of the areas that we need to maintain, sort of our personal and lifestyle and business org chart, if you will. But then out of all that, you say, well, okay, if I think through all of those things, I've probably got a lot of stuff I need to finish, things that take more than one step. So then you come down to 10,000 feet and say, okay, what are all the projects I now have out of all that? And most people have 30 to 100 projects, like from get tires on the car to hire an assistant to launch the new ad campaign, et cetera. You still don't have what to do yet. Those are the five sort of horizons of outcomes at different levels that you would need to think through. And then you come down to, okay, what do I now need to do out of all that? And out of all that come about, 150 to 200 next actions. What are the next physical things that need to do? That's what I call the runway. That's where the rubber truly is hitting the road. Emails to send, phone calls to make, stuff to buy at the store, things to go over with my spouse. The next things that need to happen to complete the projects that are going to fulfill my areas of responsibility, that are going to get me to my short-term objectives, that are going to let me get my vision accomplished, that's going to fulfill my purpose. Now, I couldn't get it any simpler than those six conversations. So that's why I don't recommend ABC priority codes or 1, 2, 3 or high, medium, and low, because you've got a much more sophisticated set of variables that you have to deal with, and that somewhat oversimplifies it.
Well, there's been certainly volumes written and many talks and conversations about the concept of time management. David, is this about time management? Is it about organizing things and papers, or is it more philosophical than that?
It's actually none of that. What it is really describing, at the end of the day, how good do you feel about what you did versus what you didn't do. So it's really about action. It's about, you know, how well did you manage your allocation of your attention and your resources. That's really what it's about. You can't manage time. That's the problem. They've called it time management for so many years, but if you misidentify a problem, you'll never come up with a solution. The problem is not time. You can't manage time. You don't mismanage 5 minutes and come up with six. You know, I think one of the reasons it got called time management is because actually most executives think they need it, and it's a little embarrassing for executives to admit they need help in managing themselves and their decision-making. You know, so let me call it time management. That makes me sound important. But the truth is, it's really about how you manage yourself. How do you manage your allocation of your focus and your resources? It's that simple and that complex. Because, yeah, and all the variables that go into that. And it's actually, yes, organization, as you heard, is a critical component of how do I get things under control. But if you just try to go get organized, and I understand that idea. People go, hey, let's get organized and get focused. That's two very appropriate admonitions, whether you're trying to get a project going or you know, redo your company or rethink your career. I need to get organized and I need to get focused. No kidding. Mm-hmm. I mean, when the recession hit, believe me, that's a lot of conversations, you know, in the hallway. I got to get organized and I got to get focused now. Assuming you don't just want to let yourself feel run over by the bus. So those are two appropriate admonitions. That's why, but I sort them into control and perspective. But oftentimes to get control, you need to disorganize what you're doing the way you've been doing it. That's the problem, is a lot of people's organization is not an appropriate structure for the kind of flexibility, or it's an old structure that they haven't redone. They're too embedded in their comfort zone about it. So people tend to think of me as an organization guy, but I'm really not. I'm really as much a disorganization guy as anything else.
Now that's an interesting paradigm shift.
Well, come on. You know, everybody's already organized. You wouldn't be listening to this right now if you weren't. There's some level of organization and some level of stasis that you've got together just so that you could focus on anything. What you need to do is you need to wait, is this the appropriate organizational model or structure for what I'm trying to accomplish? Because too controlled is out of control. Because you lack then the flexibility, you don't have the responsiveness, you don't have the sensitivity, you don't have the recalibration capability. So you have to be very careful about it. It's kind of like, you know, you want to get as organized as you need to be, but no more. But I understand it because for the most part, I think most professionals have overcreated and gone way beyond their systems to be able to keep track of what they've committed to. So I understand that for the larger majority, the organization part of this component is a big missing one simply because most people are just running around the victims of their own creativity. You know, what they've put into motion way beyond what their systems and their behaviors are keeping up with. That's why they're feeling so burned out.
Yeah, I've definitely felt that way myself at times. It seems like there is so much about organization and focus and project management that sometimes that becomes the end in and of itself, doesn't it? And when you say people sometimes over-organize and need to get disorganized, that becomes very inflexible, doesn't it?
It does. Well, you know, you always have to come back to what are we trying to accomplish? Where are we trying to go? And if you think about it, a lot of people move into pretty high-performance behavior in a crisis simply because it forces them to focus on an outcome. It forces people to have to sacrifice certain things in order to accomplish the result called live or get out of here or survive or whatever that thing is. And so people will tend to naturally, you know, make some pretty good choices when the heat's really on. Actually, I say make good choices. The problem is if you wait till crisis mode to do this, unfortunately, you lose track of your intuitive executive intelligence and your forebrain. You go into fight and flight mode, which actually, you know, shuts down your ability to be able to make really good decisions. But the truth is, this is longer than what you ask about, the truth is, yes, if you focus too much on the process itself versus what the process is supposed to be accomplishing, people often say, gee, David, how organized should I get? And I say, is your head empty yet? And they go, no. I say, well, you need more. You know? Is that project still on your mind? Yeah, then you need more project management.
Right, right. Okay.
If the project's on cruise control, you got enough stuff to think about. Don't over-organize that.
Before we leave the getting things done, are there sort of some specific mechanical things, like, for example, a certain type of time management, and I'd hate to say that word, a calendar system, probably software-based, is there a certain sort of workflow or paper flow that people should adopt? Do you want to say, don't be a pack rat, throw things out, or I remember there's an old thing.
The practical tactical.
Okay. Right, yeah, go.
Practical tactical goes like this. is, first of all, stage one, which is capture the stuff that has your attention. You need all the tools that get stuff out of your head. So you need to be able to just write stuff down, have pen and paper with you everywhere, write it down, have end baskets, answer machines, recording devices, keep stuff out of your head. That's the worst thing to do is to file stuff in your head. So the first best practice is to make sure any commitments or any potentially meaningful input had better be captured into some sort of trusted bucket that you trust you will then rummage through and assess, you know, sooner than later. So you need good end baskets, just physical end trays, stack baskets so you can throw paper and meeting notes and things in it. You need a pocket note taker like I have, where I just carry it around with me, like with a pen in it, so I can take notes wherever I am. And capture is very different than organize. For capture just means I make sure I've got the meeting notes there, that I have the thought of the idea that I had when I was running through the store. So capture tools, you know, the simplest ones are just paper and pen, and I've got those all around. Wherever I have a flat surface and a phone and conversations, I've always got legal pads and pads I can write on so that I capture stuff. And I carry stuff with me to do the same thing. Then stage two is really how do I then need to empty those end baskets. So then I need to go through, and there are no tools for that other than your brain. That's what your brain is for, is to pick up the note you just said and say, okay, what the heck am I going to do about that? What's the next action? Now, once I decide what these things mean, now that's the thinking process you have to apply to the stuff you captured. Then I need to organize the things that I can't finish, you know, right away. So once I decide what something means, oh, this email, nothing to do, but I do want to keep it, then I better have a place to store it. That's where organize comes in. So then you need to have good categories for stuff. Now, the action reminders, the things that you need to be reminded of to do, those basically just need to be in some form of a list. So everybody needs a good list manager. A list, they're not going to handle everything, but they'll handle the vast majority of things you need to be reminded of things you need to do. You need a list of all the projects you have. You need a list of all the action items you need to take about those. And your calendar is a list itself. So the short answer, I know this is not very short, but I have to describe, when you say a planner or a time management tool, basically you're talking about, oftentimes, a loose leaf notebook is a great tool. You can hold a calendar in it, and it can also hold lists of reminders in it as well, but it also may have reference material, which is telephone and address, and might have project plans. It might have a lot of stuff in that one particular tool. But what you really need are a list capability. Now, by the way, you can keep a list in a low-tech or a mid-tech or a high-tech way. A low-tech way to keep track of all the calls you need to make would be a file folder just labeled calls to make. You could just throw pieces of paper in there, and that works well. If you wanted a little more mid-tech, what I call, then you probably could use a loose-leaf notebook with paper pages in it, where you could create a page. You could create a tabbed section called action lists, and one of those pages could be called calls. Another one could be called stuff to do at the computer, and so forth. So you could divide your actions in ways that make sense. Say, yeah, when I get to a phone, show me all the calls I need to make, and you could just have a page in a loose-leaf notebook for calls. You could also have a page or two or three pages that list, just give you an index of all the projects that you need to keep track of until they're finished. So just a way to manage lists, a loose leaf notebook is an elegant way to do that. And then, of course, there's lots of software ways to manage lists. If you're in an environment or an organization that's using either Lotus Notes or Microsoft Outlook or some sort of the very popular kind of groupware applications out there, you can actually configure those so that they can make lists. Oftentimes, that's not very intuitive when you get those programs. So we've written a couple of white papers on, for instance, how to reconfigure Outlook so it matches this good list management model or Lotus Notes. And, you know, people can find that on our website.
Give the website, if you would.
It's davidco.com, davidco.com. You can do that, and of course, I think there are over 200 software applications we've seen that are purporting to support the getting things done model, you know, based on my first book. Not that we've designed, but all kinds of sort of geeks out there have taken this and go, wow, you know, David really came up with a great idea about lists. Let's create better ways to manage lists. So there's all kinds of list management software out there. There's some that's based in the clouds, on the web. There's OmniFocus or Things. Those are two very popular programs for Mac-based people that just manage lists. The Apple world is, the Mac world is not quite as productivity-oriented as Outlook or Lotus Notes because, you know, that's, you still have to kind of tie together various components like email and your calendar plus then these other list programs. But basically all you need are some way to manage lists. Now, this comes back to a lot of people out there are into what people have often referred to as productivity porn, which is how many different ways, and wow, let me get a new piece of software, that will solve my life. It won't unless you really know what list you need to maintain, and then you need to keep it very simple. But if you understand what list you want, you can make pretty much any tool work as long as you have the capability of making more than one list and can, you know, and categorize them based upon different ways you want to set that up.
Thank you for listening to the Creating Wealth Show. This is Jason Hartman, your host, and we appreciate you following the show. We have many, many episodes, hundreds of episodes, and some of the older episodes have been archived and placed in our members section, and that applies to this one. So we include a sample that's about 25 minutes long, and then for the rest of the show, you can go to our members section at jasonhartman.com. Many of the other shows are still in their full-length, complete version. However, some of the shows, like this one, are in our members section where you can hear the show in its entirety. And again, you just need to go to jasonhartman.com and you can get the full show there in the members section, plus a whole bunch of other great members benefits and resources, whether it be documents, forms, contracts, articles, other video and audio content, just a great resource. So be sure to join as a member at jasonhartman.com. And thanks again for listening to the Creating Wealth Show.
This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.